About 2 months ago, the morning message was geared towards understanding that we would understand God's authority and God's ordained authorities. And we said at that time that when we are under that umbrella of God's authority, then we're in a good place. And as believers, we willfully come to the place where we surrender our lives to Him. The scripture says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And it goes on to say that he will lift you up. And we do know that there is a God, there is a devil, and there is no better place for us to be as his children who by faith have come to him than to bring ourselves under his word and under his authorities and say, yes, Lord, we will do what you have called us to do. If you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're here and you're like, maybe you're a new believer and it's like, I don't get all of what this means. It is making him our master and our Lord and bringing everything we say and do under his mighty power and control. And we looked at that time that God has ordained different authorities. He has ordained the government, the church, the home, and the workplace. And we have been talking about marriage over the last few weeks. And today, we're going to talk about the church. And the reason we're doing that is we're switching from chapter 5 to chapter 6. And next week, we're going to talk about children obeying their parents. But we're going to talk about what it means here in the church. The church is not the brick and mortar around you. It is not the pews that you're sitting in. The church is made of those who have been saved by his amazing grace. We are called as believers the bride of Christ, his body. We are called saints. We are called church of the living God. We are called the flock of God, the fold of Christ. We are temples of the living God. And there is the universal church, which is around the world, but then there are local assemblies, those that are the called out ones. And we make up his body. We are his bride. We are his church. And so, as we've been studying in Ephesians at the very beginning, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, we are holy because of we have Christ's holiness in us and his imputed righteousness to us. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. In Philippians, we see that the church of God is, to Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with overseers and deacons. And God has ordained that even within the church, there are those that would take up the task of leadership. And by the way, every church rises and falls with good or bad leaders. I just got to tell you that. I mean, there are, 3,500 churches that close every year. And many of them close because they don't have leaders that want to obey God's word and lift up God's word. And they do things their own way. And Jesus gave a warning about that. He said, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. And so God has called that there would be those that shepherd the flock. And on July 29th of this year, the church unanimously voted to affirm Andrew Fagan as the next elder at Cross Point Christian Church. Andrew, just stand up real quick so everyone knows who Andrew is. Say hi to Andrew. Okay. All right. It was good. So, this service today is for Andrew, and this service today is for all of us. It truly is, because we're gonna look at three things. We're going to look at what is an elder, we're going to look at what are the duties of the elder, and then we're going to look at the seriousness of eldership and the response of us, the church. And if you think, well, this means, this really has no relevance for me, oh, yes, it does. It really does. And I hope by the end of this that you will see that. Now, let's get started. What is an elder? In biblical governance, it is broken down into two groups, basically, that you will see in Scripture. You will see elders talked about, and you'll see deacons. And if you come from a different church tradition like I have, whether it is the Roman Catholic tradition or the Anglican church, they have all kinds of layers. They have the monarch, the pope, they have archbishops, they have cardinals and bishops, and they have bishops and archbishops and priests and deacons and vicars, and they have all these things. But in the scripture, we see that there are elders and there are deacons. And deacons are those that serve. But today our emphasis is going to be on the elders of the church. Now, what gets a little confusing, it took me a long time as I was a new believer to understand this, that in scripture, an elder is a shepherd, is a pastor, is an overseer, is a bishop. Those terms that we're going to see are interchangeable, and we're going to see that in scripture as we go through this message, that some of the words are descriptive, and they talk about the function of what an elder does, but it also really is what an elder is called. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you." Notice that there's more than one. There's a plurality of elders. I do think that one of the great things that we have is I have people around me that are fellow elders that help me. And it would be very scary if I was like the only voice in these issues. It would not be good. And so God has ordained that there would be elders. He says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have it, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." So the function, the job, your job, Andrew, is you're to help shepherd this flock. You are to exercise authority over it. You are to have oversight. And that is what we're called to be. And so that's why we're called overseers in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, we're going to see more of this as we look at the duties. What are the duties of an elder? The duties of the elder, and there's many of them, but there are four central things that describe things that we need to be doing, that you need to be doing and faithfully doing. One is shepherd and be vigilant over the flock of God. In all humility, you, Andrew, need to serve him, and you need to guard and protect the members of this flock from spiritual harm, and really all harm if possible, to assist in any way, to warn, to encourage, to build up. It is an awesome task to guard against false teaching that is ever creeping into the church. It is like water going into the basement. It's always coming in. Even if you waterproof it, it'll find a way to get in there somehow. It can make its way into the church. You know why? Because the church, the devil wants to destroy this group right here. Wants to get a foothold in people's lives. Wants them to go sideways. And we have to be God's sheepdogs, if you would, overseeing the flock and caring for them. That is what God has called us to. And it's not necessarily an easy task. We are also called, secondly, to teach the flock of God. That's primarily of how we're doing this. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 20. This is a tremendous, tremendous passage that I think is a great snapshot of what God has called those who are elders to do and to be within the church. This is Paul's farewell address to the Ephesians. We have been studying the book of Ephesians. We see that in verse 17, he says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders," again, plural elders, "he called the elders of the church to come to him." So here it is. Paul's given his farewell address. He summons the elders from Ephesus. In verse 18 it says, "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I have lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plot of the Jews. How I did not shirk from declaring to anyone that what that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. That's our job. We teach, we instruct, we counsel through God's word. Drop down to verse 24. But I do not account my life as of any value, nor is precious to me, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching, proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face again. He knows he's going to die. He's going to Jerusalem. He says in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. How could Paul be innocent of the blood? You know why? He fulfilled all of his job. Didn't mean that everyone followed him, but he did all that he was called to do. He says in verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. Can I just say this right now? We live in a world, they don't want the whole counsel of God. We live in a world that wants their ears tickled, that you want to come to church to be built up. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying the climate that we live in. You want to hear feel-good messages. You want to be built up. And yes, there's a part where we do that according to God's word. But there's far more to that, and we're going to see that in a little bit. Verse 28. Pay careful attention. This is to you, Andrew. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The people around you have been blood bought by Jesus. They are his bride, and you are to protect the bride with your life. It is a high calling. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What an awesome responsibility. But this is not something that we or you should take lightly. And they're not gonna, by the way, some of the people to whom you will shepherd are not gonna like what you say. Here's what Paul said to Timothy, who was a young pastor in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And some of those reproving and some of those rebuking, can I just say sheep bite sometimes? And they're not biting you. Here's what you got to understand. They're not mad at you. They got a problem with Jesus. You're the one who's standing with authority, because the only authority you have is God's word. Andrew Fagan is nothing in and of himself, but in Jesus and what you have. And when you give God's word, that's where your authority comes. He goes on to say in verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And you can't take that personally. It hurts. I've been doing this a long time, and I'm still learning. And there's a part where you just need to be faithful to the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So an elder's duty is to shepherd the flock and be vigilant over the flock of God, to teach the flock. The third thing is, you're to be an example to the flock of God. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. One of the most basic jobs of an elder is to be like Paul, who says, imitate me as I follow Christ. And I would just say to the church, the elders would not even put Andrew forward to you if we did not see this in him. He, though not perfect, though none of us are, Pastor Jason's not perfect, Dale's not perfect, Jim Reimer's not perfect, Jay's not perfect, I am not perfect, Paul wasn't perfect, Timothy wasn't perfect, but in all humility, we walk in reverence with him and we walk closely with him, and we need to be quick repenters. But I can say to any of you to follow the elders as they follow Jesus. And we can only do that in his power. And your last duty, though there are many, is you need to pray for the flock of God. Jesus told a parable that we had always, to the effect, we had always to pray and not lose heart. What are you going to do to help these people? Yes, we give them God's word, but we got to be on our knees praying. And there are massive needs that are represented. Massive needs. And you will be privileged to hear of some of those needs. And we just, some people have had such terrible backgrounds that they're going through things that the only thing that's going to help them is the Lord. Some of them are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of them have hurts and cares that we need to be those stretcher bearers that bring them to Jesus. Just as they lowered the man who was infirm to Jesus, that's what we do. We are stretcher bearers. And we bring people to the foot of Jesus and we lift them up. And the great thing is, you will see God do amazing things. You will see him work in people's lives. There's one more thing I want us to see. The seriousness of eldership and the response of you, the church. The seriousness and the response. Because this is a big deal. And you would say, well, you know, I follow Jesus. I don't need to follow what anybody says. Well, God has ordained that there would be leaders in the church that give you God's word. And you are going to hear from God through God's word. And many times it will be the elders and others that will be conduits of God's word. And so you do have responsibility. In Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders and those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of life and imitate their faith. And then 10 verses later in verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and to submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. There are three aspects of this that I want us to see. One is very clear. You have to, it says, obey your leaders and to submit to them. Now, that is, again, the authority we have is based in the Word of God as we bring the Word of God. If I say to you, Chris, I want you to go wash my car today. You need to obey me. No, you don't. But if I say to you, this is what God's word says, and it clearly says that, you can't sit there and say, I don't think so. I'm going to do what Chris wants. You don't have that prerogative. We are those that, as we bring God's word, we are his servants that are bringing it to you, and this is as though God's speaking to you through his word, because he is. And we don't pick and choose. You can't sit there and say, yeah, I don't think I want to forgive that person. You don't know what they did to me. I'm just not going to forgive them. Yeah, we don't have that option. We're to forgive as we have been forgiven. There's a second aspect here, which should scare you to death. It says, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account for these people. And in James chapter 3, it talks about those who teach will be judged more strictly, and all of what that account means. But I know this, we have a duty. We're not here to have a popularity contest. We have to be faithful to God's word to give them the truth of God with love and compassion and kindness and not get angry. But we do have that responsibility. We can't, as much as possible, we cannot allow sheep to wander into harm. That's the part that we pray about and struggle over. We have to bring balanced meals to the people. Many of them will want candy. You don't give your kids candy all the time. You give them a balanced meal. Yes, you got to eat broccoli sometimes. I don't like broccoli. You got to eat balanced, and we have to feed that which is good, because God holds us accountable. And I take that seriously, and I hope you do as well. And then the third aspect here says, let them do this. Let Andrew do this. Let the elders do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, we are all responsible as believers to rejoice always, to give thanks in every circumstance, to be joy-filled, rejoicing. But there are times, just like with your children, when your children make bad choices, your heart groans. If you love your kids, your heart groans when your kids do something where you go, oh, you still love them. But parenting in that moment is not joyful. If you're a parent, I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you're not sitting there saying, well, I'm always joyful, even when my kid takes the marker and writes on the wall. You know, you're a better parent than I am. Or when the teacher says, your kid did this or your kid did that. Or when your child is making decisions as an adult that breaks your heart. And so, in a real way, God calls us to let him do his job with joy and not with groaning. Don't be the source of groaning. My wife will tell you, I will be sitting in a chair praying through the directory, and there's times I just go, she's like, what are you groaning about? Because I see people going in a direction of harm. And it's so difficult because I can't choke you out, though I would love to choke you out and get you to make the right decision. But all the other elders say you can't do that. So, but it's hard. It's just like, it's hard to see your kids go doing, not that you're our kids, you're not, but God has given us oversight. But use that analogy. It is hard to see your kids make decisions that you know are going to hurt them and cause damage to them. And so there is that groaning. So I say to the church, live in such a way that you're so obedient to Christ for his glory that Andrew nor any of the others will have to groan, but that there would be joy filled. And by the way, you're going to see both. I am overwhelmed with joy for this flock. Most of our people, you got to know, most of our people faithfully serve the Lord. They're going to join up with Portion. They're going to be part of this Arab outreach that we're going to do, and God's going to use that. Incarcerated youth, there's we're going to have people that serve kids, and we have great people. We do. And well, they all need shepherding. They all need encouraging. They all need building up. Some of them need, at time to time, a rebuke and exhortation. We can't just say, oh, focus on the good and let the fringers go. No, you got to try to love them and grab them. But you will have a mixed bag, and it's glorious, though. It's glorious to see God work in people's lives. You'll have the front row seat to some of that. You'll see people who are going in the wrong direction repent. And it's not us. We're nothing. We're his servants. But it's God doing his work. And it's a joy to sit here and see the body do what he's called us to do. And every week, I got to tell you, every week I hear stories. And there's some of you I got to talk to even this week of just great stories that I've heard about you. And I say, praise God for what he has done in your life. It is my joy to be a shepherd over you. It really is. And so we all have a responsibility here, and that is, when God speaks, we obey Him. When God speaks, we obey Him. We don't pick and choose. There are harder things to do. These are tough decisions sometimes. But we enjoy, want to do what He wants us to do. Why? Because this is His church. We are His bride. We are His body. You and I were bought with a price, so we want to glorify God with everything that we say and we do. And we will be happier. There is joy when He speaks and we obey Him. Even though that may be that you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because we know the best is yet to come. Just a word to you, Krista, and the kids. You're part of this. Kids, your parents have your dad has an awesome responsibility. Obey him. I'll make sure he's trying to be a good dad. I'll make sure that he's trying to be a good husband to your mom. We'll hold him accountable in that. But you're called to obey the Lord as well. And you're good kids, but you're sinners too. I know that because my kids were sinners. When you're involved in this, there's times where you're going to hear stuff. You're going to hear stuff over the phone. You got to let it go. And I am thrilled that God has called you to this. So we're going to do something. I'm going to call you guys up, and I'm going to call the elders up and their wives, those that are here. And we present you with a sheepskin. And some people have questioned, shouldn't you give them a shepherd's crook? A hook? Why are you skinning a sheep and giving it to them? Well, we lay this down, and this is for you to not only be a reminder, come on up, but also there are times you get on your knees and you pray for this. So come around here, and before you kneel down, we have a bit of a, we've put together a bit of a charge to you and a charge to the congregation that Pastor Jason is going to lead us in. So if we can get that on the screen.
So I'm going to read part of this, and then you'll just respond, however, but make sure it's the right response. So, Andrew, do you reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Do you acknowledge Him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, eternally existing in three persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Okay. Do you believe the entirety of the Bible, consisting of both Old and New Testaments, to be the Word of God, free from error in the original words, authored under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, fully authoritative in all matters it addresses, incapable of being wrong, and always accomplishing its purposes? Do you sincerely believe, receive, and adopt the primary beliefs of the faith as expressed in our articles of faith or our statement of faith as reliable explanations of what the Bible teaches us to believe and do? And if at any time you find yourself in disagreement with them, will you make this known to your fellow elders? Will you fulfill your role or your office and duties in obedience to Jesus Christ, being continually guided by the Holy Spirit under the authority of the Bible? And will you endeavor by the grace of God to honor Christ and the gospel in your life and conduct? And do you promise to be mutually submissive to your fellow elders in the Lord? And will you love your colleagues in ministry, your fellow elders, pastors, deacons, ministry teams, and volunteers, working with them, subject to God's word and the Spirit? Are you now willing to take this personal responsibility in the life of this congregation as an elder to oversee the ministry and resources of the church and to devote yourself to prayer, the ministry of the word, and the shepherding of God's flock, relying upon the grace of God in such a way that Crosspoint and the entire Church of Jesus Christ will be blessed? And now we, as congregation, are going to affirm Andrew. Do you, the members of Crosspoint Christian Church, acknowledge and publicly receive Andrew as an elder and as a gift from God to this church to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ?
I do.
And will you love him and pray for him in his ministry and work together with him humbly and cheerfully submitting to the Board of Elders that by the grace of God we may accomplish the vision and mission of this church to the glory of God.
All right. Why don't you guys take a knee?
Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we we come to you in humility, knowing that you have set aside and called out and consecrated Andrew and his family for your service. May you guide them, guide him in wisdom, guide him and strengthen him in his service to you and this body of believers. Lord, I pray that this would be a joy to him and to Krista and the family, that it would be a source of great satisfaction and contentment and purpose in their lives, that they would see in you and this calling something that would be a joy in their lives through the tough times and through the easy times. Lord, I pray that Andrew would be strong, that he would be sacrificial, and that he would strengthen those that are around him with the power of your word. May he be empowered by you in the Holy Spirit in a way that would be amazing for us to see. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
And Father, we do pray that you would guard Andrew and his family from the attack of the devil, that he would watch his life and his doctrine closely, that he would persevere in them, that he would be a joyful shepherd of your flock, that you would give him your wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would bless his children, that they would serve you all the days of their life. Father, I do pray that as a church, we would be your effective tool for your glory. This is your church. This is your body. This is your bride. I thank you that you have brought Andrew back to this church, and you have used him and will use him. And so, Lord, we commit him to you. This is your church, Lord. Use all of us for your glory, that you may receive praise and honor and glory. And we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you, you guys. I will give you this after the second service. We're going to stand and we're going to worship the Lord a little bit. Please stand.
We are going to celebrate by singing the message and remind ourselves of the message that Andrew and we are responsible to be given to the world. That it's not about us, it's about him and it's about his shed blood. We are nothing without him.
Save a wretch.
Andrew, if you as the family could make your way to the back right now, and we're going to pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. I do pray for this church that we would be your church, that we would be effective in your ministry, that we would hold true to your word, that we would be about being your witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Lord, may we be iron sharpening iron within this body in helping and encouraging one another. Lord, may we just be about your business. Lord, life is short, and so help us to be a faithful body, a faithful flock. And we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.